When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
All right, everybody, welcome to a busier than normal middle of March version of the Happy Half Hour. I'm Darren Gant. She's Cassidy Hill, and we had a week last week. We did.
I think that week is still going on. Or you know that 30 Rock meme where it's like, "Oh, what a week!" And he goes, "Lemon, it's Wednesday."
Yeah, that was last week. I mean, they, you know, obviously going into an offseason after a 2-15 year, right, you expect a lot of movement. I did. I don't know that I expected it to the degree and intensity of last week, because not only did they do a lot of stuff, they did a lot of big business. And and the three right off the bat on, you know, Monday, effectively, during the negotiation period, bringing in Robert Hunt, Damian Lewis to fortify that offensive line, and trading for Deontay Johnson. It's like, poof, okay, all right, three big swings, and you just took care of a couple of the very biggest problems Bryce Young and that offense had last year.
Two of them literally big swings.
Yep.
Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis are some big guys, as we saw when they entered the building this week. And, you know, I think that was proof, at least for fans, definitely for me, that Dave Canales and Dan Morgan haven't just been offering lip service. They laid out at the combine pretty clearly what their priorities were, and said, and you know, spoke the words. It wasn't just coach speak. They didn't tap dance around it. They said, "We need guards. Yep. We need interior guards for Bryce." And then they went out and did it with two of the really, really, really good guards on the free market.
Right. And you know what? I mean, all the numbers this time of year are always subject to a little closer scrutiny once you see what the actual contract. But in terms of the reported value, you're talking about $150 million worth of contract for a couple of guards. That should show you how serious they were about solving this problem. And, you know, you go through last year where you play seven left guards, eight right guards. Bryce takes 62 sacks, sixth most all-time in NFL history, tying the franchise record set by poor Steve Berline back in the day. But they had to get that fixed, and they went out with intent and did it. Yeah, I think, if you just, depending on whose metrics you believe, whether it's PFF or anybody else, Robert Hunt was one of the top guards in the game last year. He excels as a pass protector. Also, he's mammoth. Robert Hunt is that special kind of big that even big people are, you know, dwarfed by or eclipsed by. I mean, when you saw him roll up on Taylor Moton, who is a fairly gigantic human being, the other day, and it's like, oh, that new one's much bigger than he is.
He was. And that's so, so important, especially for what they want to do with Bryce this year. You know, get the ball out quicker, give him a clean pocket to kind of see through, which sounds, of course, yeah, of course you want that. But it, when you see it didn't necessarily happen last year with the rotating door at guard. The rotating door at guard is also interesting when you think about the fact that Damian Lewis has hardly ever missed a game in his career. Yeah. Like high school, college, NFL has hardly ever missed a game. And so something like that's important. And, you know, Darren, as cliche as it sounds to say, okay, well, you've got to have a good line for your young quarterback, you especially have to have a good line in today's NFL at every position. It used to be, once upon a time, the most premium position on the offensive line was what? Left tackle.
Left tackle.
Now you've got guys coming from every angle. They can blitz off the left. They can blitz off the right. I mean, you've got guys like Derrick Brown coming straight up the middle for 103 tackles. So you've got to have just absolute like studs and hosses at every position, especially those interior positions.
Well, and that's the thing is, I think, Cass, about this reconfigured offensive line. And, you know, with Bradley Bozeman being released, Austin Corbett kicks inside. He's your center now, ladies and gentlemen. And Austin was kind of he's an interesting piece in this whole calculus, because Austin's played all five in his life. He's been at every spot on the line. He was drafted as a tackle, played some center, settled in at guard, won a Super Bowl ring with the Rams at guard, and played really well here. But Austin, in a lot of ways, fits what they're trying to do because, A, he's the communicator mm-hmm. of the bunch and is always, you know, kind of that – he was almost the veteran of that line the last couple of years and, you know, directing a lot of traffic. But he's also stout, and Austin's a smart guy, has experience, and has done this before, so we'll see how it goes. I mean, they still haven't ruled out – you know, as you go through this thing, when you go through a busy free agency and you fill all the lines in the depth chart, you know, then you get to a spot where if you get to the draft and at 33 or 39, the right center is sitting there, nothing precludes you from taking that guy. But they had to make moves to stabilize this thing in the short term before they can worry about the long. And I think when you look at Ike Ekwonu, Damian Lewis, Austin Corbett, Robert Hunt, Taylor Moten, not only is that a pretty good offensive line, that's a massive offensive line. I mean, Austin's the little one out of the bunch, and Austin is not small, and he plays bigger than he actually is. So I think it's the step they absolutely had to take after last season. And you could say you overreacted and you overspent on guards or whatever, but that was an acute problem last year.
Right.
And if you've invested what you've invested in Bryce, you have to do that. And – you know, they feel like these two guys, you know, both the personality and the player are fits here.
Damian Lewis, and this will be in a story this week on Panthers.com, but he told me last week, Darren, that he wants Austin and Robert Hunt to be known as mean, tough, and nasty.
Sold.
And he broke down which one was mean, which one was tough, which one was nasty. You'll have to check out the story this week.
I was going
to
say, don't give away all the goodies.
You have to check out the story this week. But I thought that was fun, too, especially because they are kind of the typical offensive lineman where they're a little bit more docile off the field and, you know, they're going to turn it on. But, I mean, I thought also to your point, I mean, if you're sitting there now that you've got that extra pick in the second round and for some reason a guy like Jackson Powers Johnson falls to you or something, I think that's a good problem to have is to have someone like that mm-hmm. come in and work with Austin Corbett for a little while. I mean, ideally you've got, what, eight? Nine deep across the line.
Well, and that's the thing. Now Brady Christensen becomes your sixth man, basically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think as they're built at this moment, Brady's probably your swing tackle and your top backup at guard across the board. Now, you know, I could see them going out and finding another veteran tackle. You know, mm-hmm. somebody like David Sharp was here last year, but Sharp got signed up early, I think, in Houston.
Or like Gabe Jackson, he was a guard.
I mean, somebody of that ilk, I think at tackles, probably it's reasonable to think they're looking for something like that at the moment because they want to make sure this thing is buttoned up and to protect Bryce because it's the priority of what's mm-hmm. going on around here this offseason. So
don't matter what a quarterback does if he's on his back.
No doubt. But it wasn't just – offensive lineman, although it felt like it was just offensive lineman.
Well, they take up a lot of space.
And it feels like with the sheer mass of transactions that happened last week, it almost got lost. But it's like, oh, by the way, they traded for Deontay Johnson. They have what could be a number one receiver now for Bryce Young to go out there with Adam Thielen and create some stuff that they didn't mm-hmm. have before.
I think that it depends on your definition of a number one receiver, but yes, I'm agreeing with you, just expounding on it. I think in terms of sheer touches, Adam Thielen's still going to get the most touches of this group. But what Deontay Johnson can do for you is create those big plays. You know, ESPN calculates a number of things, and one of the things they calculated this past year was that from 2020 through the season's 2023, so four seasons, Deontay Johnson creates more space than any other receiver in the National Football League. And the other players that rounded out the top five were guys like Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs,
Justin Jefferson.
Yes, guys
Cats
that
are good
known,
at football.
And they are known for creating space. Like, that's their thing. And Deontay Johnson creates more space than any of them. You know, he spent his first year with and now that I think about it, too, I think one of those years he wasn't even in the league. So it's like he's doing it with less time. He spent his first year with Ben Roethlisberger, and then he kind of went through a carousel of Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett. And so he's kind of seen both sides of that coin, you know, a Hall of Fame veteran quarterback and then a young first-round quarterback. He's kind of seen it from both angles. It's going to be interesting to see what approach he takes with this receiver room. You know, is it sort of like defer to Thielen? I think that he will, just based on talking to him last week. And so that's why I think we still see Thielen maybe get the most touches. But what Deontay brings you is something that can not only take the top off a defense, but just leave a defense in their dust.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be exciting for Bryce. That depends a lot on chemistry. So it's going to be really paramount that the two of them spend a whole lot of time together this offseason to kind of get that timing down together. Because if you have a receiver like that, that, like I said, more than anything else, depends on chemistry.
Yeah, no doubt. And the other thing that's important to remember about that receiver room is I don't think it's completely constructed
yet. No, not even close.
As has been widely reported, Michael Gallup from Dallas is in here today. Mm-hmm. Mike Williams is scheduled to show up here later on this week.
Those are both two, oh, wow, those are guys.
Yeah, those are guys. And the thing that's interesting about both of them is they are that, if you want me to be football nerd guy and describe things by their positions, those are those X's that get outside and can win one-on-one and get downfield. And both those guys are plus 14, I think 14 and 15, mm-hmm. respectively, in career yards per reception. I mean, these are the guys who make downfield plays. Both of them got some injury mm-hmm. stuff on the back of their football card that you'll have to check out. Medicals are a part of every one of these visits. That's going to be a thing, but I think when you consider the possibility of adding somebody like that,
mm-hmm.
it's almost like ordering off Chinese menu. You get your starch, you get your protein, you get your vegetable. You know, they've dealt with this part over here, this category. Now they're on to this one. And if you can add somebody like that, mm-hmm. somebody that can stretch the field, get vertical, to create that space underneath for two cats in Thielen and Deontay Johnson, who've shown they know how to work in that space.
Right.
That's where you create opportunities for the offense as a whole. So, you know, Dave Canales had that last year, obviously, in Mike Evans. He's had that guy when he was in Seattle in a DK Metcalf and working with different kinds of receivers. But, you know, we'll see how the following week goes. You know, it's – as we're sitting here taping this podcast at 10:26 a.m., timestamp it for posterity.
11:26. We changed time last week.
Did it? Is
yeah.
It? Come on, Matt. Update your clocks in the studio. You're killing me. You're making me look bad out here.
Mr. Trivia Man, who won your trivia this weekend.
Yeah, we are the champions.
Do you know who first suggested daylight savings time?
I do not. Benjamin Franklin?
Yes.
Of course. It's when in doubt, who invented thing in America? Guess Benjamin Franklin.
Mm-hmm.
The almanac? Sure, why not?
I think he did start the almanac.
Yeah, I know he did. So, anyway, it's, yes, in matters that are not trivial, on the other hand, as busy as they were rebuilding an offense, which needed to happen, all of a sudden you look across the ball on the other side and there's a lot of holes to fill.
Mm-hmm.
Between Brian Burns being traded to the Giants for picks, we got into that a little bit. I don't think we talked about it on the podcast last time, but that one had kind of reached its inevitable conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be hard to do a deal. Dan, you know, Morgan and those guys talked at the combine a little bit, but it was just becoming obvious there wasn't a deal long term. So you get to a point where you just have to get what you can. And in a situation where a guy doesn't have contract, you know, so much gets made out of that old Rams offer of the 2 and 2 ones. And I kind of got into this in the mailbag the other day, but that is probably – that's a little bit of a Rorschach test. That's going to be what you carried into it. You're going to believe, because you can scream and holler and say, oh, my God, 2 first-round picks in a second. At the time of that offer, it's a which happened in October of 22, you're talking about a 24 and 25 first-rounder. And when NFL teams start negotiating trades, you know, there's a discount applied to future draft picks. You know, a year out's one is a two. and 2 years out one is kind of a three. So there is a little bit of a discount.
Kind of like as soon as you drive it off the lot, the value depreciates.
Yeah, the depreciation on a Brian Burns. But, you know, they kind of just got to that point where they felt like they needed to move on, make the decision, get what they could. They make the trade for a two and a couple of fives effectively, and now they've got two picks in the top 40. Mm-hmm. They're on 33rd and the 39th coming from the Giants. But now all of a sudden you look across the ball and there's no Brian.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no Frankie because Frankie Louvu signs with Washington pretty quickly. And they signed all the linebackers in Washington. I mean, they go, not only do they...
Dan Quinn's going to be running like a 2-5 or something.
Yeah, get after it. But you got guys who fill a lot of different roles up there. I mean, just to think that Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu roll in the door, your defense changed pretty considerably, pretty quickly up there in Washington. But... Frankie creates a hole. They cut Von Bell, creates a hole. Dante Jackson goes to Pittsburgh in the trade for Deontay Johnson. This place is rich in DJs, by the way. And so all of a sudden, you've got a lot of blanks to fill in on defense. In much the same way, they kind of went at it systematically. They bring in A'shaun Robinson to be the big run defender up front. Pair him with Shai Tuttle and Derrick Brown, and you're a lot more solid up front than you were a year ago. A'shaun's kind of that old head who's been around the league, good at what he does, and has filled in a lot of places. And bonus, knows Ejiro Evero. Played for him previously with the Rams, knows about what's going to be expected of him. Same thing with
Josie Jewell.
Josie Jewell played linebacker for EJ out in Denver. Same with Fuller, the new safety who's coming in town, Jordan Fuller from the Rams. These guys bring familiarity. Dane Jackson was signed away from Buffalo, and he's a guy Dan Morgan was around for the drafting of in the seventh round a couple years ago as he's developed into a much more consistent player for those guys. So they've filled in all those gaps, and as you look at this thing right now, you can put a lineup on the field.
Yeah.
And that's been the biggest thing about the last week is – you went from wondering what it was going to look like to saying, okay, I see 22.
Yeah.
I see 22 guys on either side of the ball, something resembling a depth chart. So is it complete? By no stretch of the imagination, because as much as they're looking at those receivers, you know, they've also had Chase Young and Jadeveon Clowney in here for visits. And as you're trying to replace a Brian Burns, you can't do it with just a DJ Wadham, a Clavon Chasen. I mean, that's a flyer on a former first-rounder, see if you can get anything out of him. Right. Wanham's been a pretty productive guy. I mean, he's a South Carolina product. A lot of people know him from his days with the Gamecocks. A lot of people know him from that touchdown he scored in this building last October. So he's going to get a lot of opportunities to be that guy in terms of the pass rusher at that position because other than last year's third-round pick, DJ Johnson, not a lot of there. And so they're continuing to monitor that market. Stay tuned for all the latest on Clowney, Young, et cetera. But still very much under construction at that position. But otherwise, this thing's starting to come together.
And I also think, too, it's important to point out, Darren, you know, it's easy when some of these pieces start getting traded and different things like that to go, well, wait, the defense wasn't the problem. What are we doing? But the passing defense wasn't really a problem. You kept your two corners. Probably going to supplement some more there in the draft as well. The run defense was an issue. And then you bring in someone else like A'shaun Robinson to kind of fill in the middle of that line. And then Josie Jewell is just a tackling machine, man. Like, he is everywhere. And he is just a roaming linebacker there in the middle of the field. That's going to be and this is probably getting ahead of ourselves, but that seems like a purposeful signing for the run defense in Josie Jewell. And you mentioned he played for Evero, had his best year.
Yeah.
And he's had some pretty good years. His best year came under Evero.
I think one of the subtle things about Josie Jewell also is he can wear that green dot. He can call signals. And last year when Shaq Thompson goes down in week two with a broken leg, there was a minute where that defense was sort of looking around like, okay, what are we
doing? Are you in charge?
Now?
Are you in charge?
Who's calling this thing? And they tried Von Bell at points. Frankie did it and then didn't and then did again. They were running Kamu and Deion Jones in and out, and there was just never that consistent, okay, this is who's calling this thing. Because,
right.
And again, Frankie Louvu's great linebacker here, made a ton of plays, but Frankie is more of a seek and destroy guy than a get everybody in the right place mm-hmm. guy. I mean, that's just not a role he had ever been called to do, and it wasn't instinctive for him. So mm-hmm. I think having that other guy, having that old head at linebacker other than Shaq, who can call a defense, who mm-hmm. can get everybody in the right place, you know, it's just a lot more stable up the middle than it was a year ago. Because, mm-hmm. you know, we talked about Ashawn Robinson, and nothing against these guys. You know, Nick Thurman, LeBrian Ray came in and played dutiful snaps last year for a decent Carolina Panthers defense, but they're guys who were signed out of an August tryout. They were on the street when training camps opened. So it almost felt like anything you got out of those guys was a bonus. Now you've got three legit defensive linemen in a 3-4
right.
taking up a lot of space, you know, and that's going to help a lot of things. So I just think they're a lot more stable up the middle. Obviously, there's work to be done on the edges. Mm-hmm. They could probably use another corner. They definitely could use another outside linebacker. But, hey, it's now 11:34.
There we go.
Now that I've learned which of my clocks I should look at in this studio, I'm still holding that against you, Matt.
This one's wrong over here, too.
It's just, I have no shot. I'm like the old newsrooms where I need a clock for every time zone.
Yeah.
What time is it in Tokyo right now, Matt?
I have no idea.
Do you know there's a town or a county in Indiana that doesn't observe the changing of daylight savings time?
Is that the one Ron Swanson works in? By any
no,
chance?
But it's the one, if you watch The West Wing, that Toby yeah. and Josh got stuck in because they didn't know that the town didn't observe daylight savings time.
Yeah, I do remember that. But anyway, here we are, and we do know what time it is. So what comes next?
They're going to bring in, yeah, a couple more this week, as Darren mentioned. Darren, what if they trotted Kate Middleton through here?
Yeah, that was the one thing, and I'll give you guys a peek behind the curtain. When we're spitballing content ideas, when you sign a couple of guards, I really wanted a picture of Damian Lewis and Robert Hunt in Beefeater costumes with, like, Kate Middleton photoshopped behind them.
So, we found her. She's being protected. Yeah. Don't worry.
She's at Bank of America Stadium. It's okay, everybody.
So, a queen in the Queen City.
Yeah. But it's, there is going to be a lot of movement around mm-hmm. this place. I mean, so stay tuned to Panthers.com. A lot of stuff coming on. We're going to be introducing you to all these new guys. We had a chance to visit with them as they came in last week, and that'll continue this week. So stay tuned to Panthers.com for all the latest.
It's going to be exciting. A lot of good stories.
A lot of cool stuff to share with you. And probably the next time we catch up with you on the Happy Half Hour will be a little more draft focused, because by then they will have filled in some more blanks and we can really dig into what's coming at number 33 and number 39. And we will do that on the next episode. Dun, dun, dun. Happy Half Hour.
Thank you.